this one off, and if we've got this one on, that'd be great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So there's one word that comes to mind as I've been thinking through this morning. To describe maybe the feelings right now or just the emotion maybe that maybe it's awesome. Not like the California surfer dude of, hey, this is awesome. No, not like that. I'm talking about an awesome where maybe when you sit and think about heaven and eternity, kind of awesome. You know, the kind of awesome that goes beyond the depths of explanation. It goes beyond what we could ever write down. I think about awesome as in maybe the layers of God, the folds of his garment, the depths of him. It's just, it's so expanding. It's awesome. When I think about the covenant that we just read together, not just my words, but it's our words. That's awesome. Do you realize that's a calling? Being up here in this position, I promise you this is not a job for me. It's not a job. It's a calling. It's a calling that's been given by God. And I will commit this. You know what? I will commit this. I know that in my own heart and in my own way and in my own ability, 100% of the time, I will fail when it's me doing it. I've tested it. It hasn't worked. I will fail. But this I will commit to you. I promise this to you. It's a promise. And that I will be a man that will listen to the direction and the voice of God. I will do what the Holy Spirit has called us to do as a church. And I will walk confidently in what it is that he has said. Not what it is that's my ideas or my hearts or my passions. Those are fleeting. But I know that when we walk together, as we pray, as we have covenanted together, that this will be awesome. I know also is that when we do this, that the glory of God will be so evident that it won't just fill up our pews and it won't just fill up classrooms. It's going to fill us. It's going to fill us. Because the glory is going in the right direction. It's not going to a man. It's not going to a family. It's not even going to a church. It's going to God. And so this is what I covenant and promise to you. This morning, as I was thinking about what do I preach on, Lord? What do I say? What do I say? In this scripture of I will do a new thing, it just kept coming to mind for the last month and a half. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Or we can climb into what does it mean of God saying, I will do a new thing. I think that there are a couple things that we need to understand and make sure that as a church that we grasp first. We need to explore, if we can, just a portion of what the mind of God is thinking. I know this, that the heart and mind of God loves church. I know this also, is that Jesus Christ died for church. Positive, and we are all confident that Jesus is returning for his church. Now, does God love us as individuals? Of course he does. And we are to have a personal relationship with him, all right? So let's not get away from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But what we must understand is that as a church, we come together as one because this is what God has created his plan for. This is the purpose. This is the mission in the mind of God, is to work his plan through the church. But we have to understand that God loves us. Jesus died for us. He's coming back for us. But there's sometimes that we begin to focus on our own mission. Now, I know that maybe we can say an amen to that, or maybe we shouldn't say amen to that. But there's times when we begin to focus on our own mission, because we know this, is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and equips us with spiritual gifts that are supposed to be meant to edify the church. We also know that when God places us in positions of ministry and leadership and whatever it may be inside the church, there's also an anointing that comes with that. So we have spiritual gifts and we have an anointing. When you collide those two things together, it creates an incredible power. Now, I don't know if the pulpit is the right place to give a quote from a comic book, but I really like Spider-Man, so I'm just going to say it, all right? Stan Lee, the creator of Spider-Man, would say this. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. When we take spiritual gifts that we have, when we take the anointing that he has placed upon you, and when we put those two together, great power begins to happen. Now, Stan Lee isn't necessarily a biblical reference, but I think that there is great truth that with great power comes great responsibility, because what can we do? We can begin to take that power that is given to us as a church, and we can begin to say, hey God, I know that you have a purpose. 11 says this. I know that there's a mission in mind that you have, but wow, there is a lot. There's an anointing. And there's giftings, and I can do this, and I can do that. And what it begins to do, church, is that power that comes from God, we begin to grab onto it, and we begin to take it over, and then we begin to do our thing with it. We need to get back into what the mind of God has to say. I've seen this. I've seen this over the years of being in lay ministry. I've seen it over years of all over. We've been in a lot of places and we've seen a lot of things or in worship inside of churches. All right, I've seen some churches. It's incredible the power that comes from the platform when it comes to worship. Music, and there's lights, and there's professionals, like paid professionals on stage, and that's a lot of power. It's a lot of anointing. It's a lot of spiritual gifts. I've also heard great communicators, great pastors, anointed, and they've been given the gift to preach, and they've been up here, and boy, they've been talking and going. They can take the Word of God, and they can rightly divide it, and they're pulling out truths that I hope that I see that kind of truth, and there's a lot of power in that. I've also seen youth rooms, and I promise you this is the truth. I've seen youth rooms where they've been stadiums. This is a weekly gathering of youth rooms, of stadiums, of kids. Not just everybody getting together in one. I'm talking about this happened like every Wednesday night that I saw in a church. Incredible, because there was a lot in there. Now, I will not say, because I'm not going to be ignorant with this, I will not say that the Holy Spirit was absent in any one of those three examples. But what I am saying is that there was a mission, there was something that God had given each one of those in the areas of music and pastoring and areas. And what it looked like is that some of that power was maybe being shifted. And I'm wondering, where was the glory of God in all that? So with great power, church, comes great responsibility. God has given us a mission as a church. If we're honest, this is going to work in our individual lives too. We who have known Jesus for a long time, we can get really, really, really good at working in our spiritual gift. Think about it. What is it? Is it hospitality? Is it leadership? Is it all the spiritual gifts running through? We can get really good at doing that, to where maybe we begin to run ahead of, or maybe push aside just a little bit, the power of God and the mission that God has, because individually we begin to do our own thing. It's not the plan that God has for His church, for the body of believers coming together. Now, hear me very clearly on this. I am not suggesting, everyone say, not suggesting. Very good. I am not suggesting he has been on that path, all right? That'd be prideful, arrogant, and quite frankly, it'd be dumb for me to say that, all right? Because I don't believe that. I don't believe that Trinity has been on a path of trying to take its own way at all. I'm talking about the church, okay? But I'm also talking about a plan that God has, a mission that God has. No man, but a mission that God has. I want us to explore that mission right now. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. And I want us to take a quick look this morning. I want us to take a quick look at what it is that is God's original plan for His church. And my prayer this morning is that what we see is shoot an arrow at this target of the mission of the church. Okay? The church. When we shoot this arrow at this target, that we're not just shooting something into the wind. I want us to see that God says, I actually have a plan. There is a mission for His church. And it's printed right here for us, in Isaiah 65. Let's start in verse number 17, and I'll read it through to verse 25. Everyone have it? Very good. All right, here we go. It says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will create over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives only a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought of as a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accused. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and they will eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others will live in them, or plant and others will eat. For as the days of a tree, so will the days be of my people. My chosen ones will enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like an ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord." If we're not careful, we could read Isaiah 65 and we can say, well, this is a picture of what heaven is going to be like. That I'm on. Up with me. It's up to 50 mile an hour, okay? We just came from Oklahoma. We got a lot of gusts out there. All right, here we go. Because it says, I will create a new heaven and a new earth, we think about that which is in heaven. But I want us to go back to verse 17. You see, we have a God that has never stopped creating. When He says, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, we have a God who is always creating. He's not just the God of Genesis. He's the God of November 10th, 2013, today. And He is always creating. He's always inventing. He's always constructing. Over the last year, I was on a construction site. Most of you know this, some of you may not. I was on a construction site for a year. I was building swimming pools. And what I watched was this, is that I watched a customer that would come into the shop and they would say, hey, we're tired of running through sprinklers. Can you build us a swimming pool? Now, the swimming pools that these guys built, I mean, these weren't just, you know, going down to local Walmart and filling them with water. I mean, these were expensive pools. So I watched the owner, and the owner would say this. Every time he would say, well, what do you want? And someone would have an idea. Well, I want a deep end, and I want a diving board, and then I want a slide, and maybe like a spa to relax in, and possibly maybe some bubblers going on, and they would begin to describe all this stuff. And I'd watch the owner. He'd go, uh-huh, uh-huh. The whole time this person is giving an example of what they want, in his mind, he's creating, because he knew how to build it. They had an idea. He knew how to make it happen. By the time we would get done, it would take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, just depending on weather and material. When it got done, and that homeowner, they would see the process and going through, but it was actually filled with water. When the fountains were turned on, when the diving board was installed, when the little rubber ducky was floating in there. You know what they said? This is better than I imagined. I couldn't fathom what it was. I thought that I had an idea of what we wanted. Every time. Now, to get to that point, though, it took a lot of construction and toil, a little bit of blood sometimes. I think it's the same thing here. I think God desires a place of worship. Come in where God can dwell, that He can gather people in, and there is found in people a new hope and a new joy. See, this is what Isaiah is talking about in 65 here. All right, new heavens, new earth. He's talking about a new hope and a new joy, and it's meant for the church. If you look again at verse 17, it says this. It says, the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. Now, dream with me a minute. What if there really was a place where your past didn't matter? Now, think about it. Every single has something that's in the past, you know, we call it a closet, or it's hidden. We don't want anybody to see, and we definitely don't want to remember. Because we're all sinful people. So, can we just agree that we've all been there at least once, if not many times, probably? You know? What is it in your past? It could be, maybe it's a bad habit, divorce, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Maybe it's bad financial decisions. It could be issues, gossip. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the past is. You hear me on this? Is that as a church, we're talking about the church that God loves, the church that Jesus died for, the church that Jesus is coming back for. He says, I want it to be a place of joy and where the past is no longer remembered. So when someone walks into our midst and comes in here, and maybe we have knowledge of what their past is, Jesus says, I'm creating a place. It's a new place that says, no matter what the past is, it doesn't matter because it's in the past and it doesn't count anymore. God says, I have created that place. That place exists, and that place exists now. It's not heaven yet. We're not there yet. But God says, I have that place of joy where your past won't have to be remembered, and it's called the church. But what do? Sometimes we take what God's created, and again, we begin to make it our own. And instead of making it a place of refuge, we make it a place of conflict. Again, I'm talking about the church as a whole, all right? I'm not talking about us right now. I'm talking as a whole. That which God created for joy because of this great power of spiritual gifts and the anointing placed on us, and we get a little bit off center, and all of a sudden, that which was to create joy, we turn it into a place of opinion, or we turn it into a place of my way of doing things. We say things like this, is that, you know what? I really think that this type of person would be very comfortable here. That's not right. Anybody, everybody is welcome here. Only this economic status would really fit into really what we're developing in our mission and this. No. There's nothing to do with that. In some churches, only if you wear a certain style of clothing, a particular, if you don't look like me, then I'm not real sure if you would fit in, might be a way that some churches are possibly making. That breaks my heart. That actually angers me. Because this is supposed to be a place of joy. It's supposed to be a place where anybody can come in just as they are. They don't have to look like me. They don't have to act like me. They don't have to smell like me. They come in where they are, and they find the joy that the first thing is, their past is not going to be held against them because Jesus loves His church. He died for it. And He's coming again for it. Next thing is that if you read in verse number 20 here, it talks about new life. All right, let me read that. Verse number 20 says new life. It says, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought as a mere child, and the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Sure. As we live here on this earth right now, it's not so much a physical thing that Isaiah is talking about here as it is, again, a spiritual thing as he's moving on with this. Living out years in full. It talks about an infant in here. I've been around a lot of people, especially being as a former youth pastor, I've been around families. A family who has lost a child. I cannot fathom a more deeper grief with a parent than to lose a child. I do not know if one exists, be honest with you. But that level of grief, Jesus is saying, that level of grief that we have if we've lost a child should only come second to what it looks like when someone has had a chance to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, but they've chosen the way of the world. My question is this, church, is that as a church, are we grieved for the ones who die that do not know Jesus Christ? If we are so wrapped up in us, in our own life, and my stuff that's going on, in my marriage, in my finances, and my stuff, if I'm so wrapped up in me, then guess what? That's not God's plan for the church. The plan is for us to take care of each other, but the plan is this level of grief. He uses the phrase of an infant here. I'll say this for anyone, and I'm walking very gently here, because any parent who has lost a child, my heart grieves for you. But there is a hope and a promise that we will see that child again, right? All right? We will see that child again. So there is hope that is inside of us. To the one who has had a chance to acknowledge Jesus as their personal Savior but has walked away from it, they will be eternally separated from God. That right there should break every single one of our hearts. And it should put us in a mission as a church that says, we need to help them. We need to go after the lost. Instead of thinking about myself, my mission, my purpose, the giftings God has given me, it's as a whole evangelizing, going and getting the lost. It's right there. It's right there. It's God's design for His church. What does the church? What does God want His church to be? It's a place where life is discovered. What does it look like? What does it look like? What does a church look like? Especially somebody who is not familiar with church. Or what does church look like? Steeples and stained glass? I would argue and say no. We may think so, but that's not what they see. They don't see steeples and stained glass. Is it the thou shalls and thou shalt nots of the restrictions put on them of saying, I don't know if I want to be part of a church because I'm not allowed to do some things? I would argue that that's still not what they see when they see a church, is the thou shalls and thou shalt nots. You know what they see? You. That's what they see. They don't see a building, steeples, shalls and shalt nots. They see you. How do you, church, love? How do you accept? How do you handle conflict? That's what this world, who is dying and going to hell, that's what they're looking at. They're not looking at a building. They're not seeing this. They're not seeing this. They're seeing you. Your example when you're with your neighbor, your example when you're in your neighborhood, your example when you're at work or at school or wherever you are, they are watching us. We are the church. We work together as a body. We are the ones that don't just come in on a Sunday morning and worship within the four walls, taking our worship up to God, praying that He drops something down on us, and then we leave and go live what that we want. It's God saying, I have brought great power, awesome power, to that bride which I love, to go out and find the ones that don't know me just yet. And the ones that don't know him should bring a great a grief inside of us. The last thing is this. What is God's plan for the church? Isaiah 65. The last thing is this. Is that God says that this is a place where there are new joys and new comforts. Because of the rebellion of Israel, we just read it in here in Isaiah 65. Because of rebellion of Israel, they would find whatever they built, somebody else would end up living in. All right? Whatever they planted in a vineyard, somebody else would eat. Because they were always being conquered. Why? Because they were always running away from God. God would help them out, and they would be able to establish something, and then something would happen, and the armies and the enemies would come in, and then they would lose everything that they had planned, and everything that they had built, and everything that they had tried to cultivate in their fields. But again, it's the same way with us. What do? We build ministries. We build classes. We build times of fellowship. And it's packed. I know that it's packed with your own blood, sweat, tears, and finances. I know that it is. You are putting everything into this that you are building. You're volunteering in places like children's area. You're volunteering in youth. Maybe it's on the worship team. You're given times and talents with instruments. Perhaps it's with Sunday school. There's just all these levels, men's, women's, just everything. We're giving everything out there. We're building and building and building. Only to find that maybe our effort, it just seems like it's for nothing. It seems like it's for nothing. There's times when we say this. We say, I've built and built and built. I've put my finances into this. I've definitely put my time into this. And I don't even know if these kids are listening. You know, maybe you're teaching the small ones or something. I don't even know if they're listening. It's kind of what Israel was saying. I'm building these houses for somebody else to live in. Is it even worth it? You know, I'm doing these ministries over here, and I'm trying to build this fellowship thing, and I planned all this stuff and everything going on. And you know what? No one even showed up. I don't even get to eat from my own vineyard. God says, this is not how I've designed the church. This is not it. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift to man. What does God want for his church? He wants a place where ministry, all right, ministries, think of the ministry that you are involved in right now. The ministries that you have that God says, my way of doing it. Great power comes from ability. My way of doing it. And God says this, if it's my way of doing it, you won't have to worry about building, worry about growing a field for enemies to come in and to steal from. God says, I will bless the toil. It's a promise. It's a gift. It's a gift that God has given. If we stay on center and do it his way. So what's our part in all this, Trinity? Our part in this is very simple, okay? God has laid out two paths, okay? There's a path of judgment and there's a path of joy. And what God is saying is this, is that as us as a church, we as believers, that those of us that congregate here, that God says this, he says, I am going to do a new thing. I am creating something here. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be better than we think. We might have some ideas in mind, but if we put it into the hands of the Creator, the one who knows how to do it, the one who loves it, who died for it, who's coming back for it, if we do that, then Jesus says there's great joy in that. We get to receive joy. He gets to receive glory. Amen. I've painted the picture the best that I could this morning. God is creating a city of holiness. He's creating harmony. He's creating hope. This is what we are going to do. We're going to work. We're going to toil. We're going to invite. We're going to love unconditionally. And we are going to pray. All through this, God is going to be glorified, Trinity. And Jesus says this, is that I will do a new thing. I want to pray. And then I'm also going to pray for the food back there because part of what you worship is fellowshipping of worship. So we're going to fellowship also. So let me pray for us as a church, and we'll pray for the food, and let me give you some instruction, and then we'll be dismissed for the morning. Jesus, we come before you. Father, it is with so much humility that God, being able to stand, to physically stand, isn't even possible, God, that we lay down spiritually, God, we lay down ourselves in front of you. And Lord, we want to acknowledge and we want to say and declare with our loud voices that you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords, that Father, that with everything in us, Lord, that is no longer about our agendas, our mission, our purpose, our thoughts, that God, our whole life is now submitted into your hands. God, I pray that you will be with this church, God. I pray that you will be with us. Especially in the next few weeks, God, as we continue to get to learn each other, Lord, as we develop friendships and relationships. Holy Spirit, I know this is that as believers, that you have knitted us together, God. You have called us for a time such as this, that we can, with your presence of the Holy Spirit, that God, it doesn't matter who we are, what we look like, what our pasts are, Lord, but because we have you as our Savior, that there is a common bond already in us. So God, I pray for relationship right now, God, to be absolutely, positively bonded. Lord, if there is any relationship in this house that has any kind of brokenness in it, then God, I pray that you will deal with that swiftly and correctly, Lord, to bring back fellowship into this place. That, Father, that when we leave this place, Father, that when we go out to a world that is lost and that doesn't know you, that, God, that we leave no conflict undone here. That, God, that we have perfect worship, perfect peace, Lord, all bringing glory to your name so that we can be so overfilled with you and overflowing that, God, that we can't help but spill out on somebody else out there. God, that is what I pray and declare for this church, Lord. God, we will fight for this, God. We will work hard. God, we will do exactly what you want us to do. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the power, for your power. It's your giftings for this church. It's your anointing for this church. And with that, God, we know this, there is nothing that we can do on our own. But God, I do believe the verse that says, but with you, all things are possible. And so, God, I can't wait to see the possibilities, Jesus. We can start giving you lists right now. Lord, I pray that you will take it in your creative hand and that you will take it beyond what we can even ask or think. Take it beyond, God. Father, I pray that you will be with every single person here. Jesus, every single person that is represented in Trinity Church of the Nazarene right now, that you will be with them right now, God. That you will establish a firm foundation of personal relationship, Lord. Father, I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit to a point of overflowing where they cannot emotionally contain it, God. Physically, Lord, that they cannot contain it. That it is spilling out on them. And they just have to testify and they have to talk and they've just got to tell somebody about how good you are. That's what I'm praying for, God. Lord, in this time of fellowship that we're going to have, Lord, I pray, I'm going to go back to relationship, Jesus. I pray that in this time of fellowship that we are about to have, that it would also be used as a time of worship for you. So that, Lord, if there is something that we hold against a brother, that, Father, that we'd be able to even take care of it today. God, I pray that we lay it at the altar today. Because, God, I want what's fresh and new. I'm tired of living in yesterday. I want to live for today and, Lord, what you have for tomorrow. Bless us now, God. Thank you so much for those who have made the food. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we can fellowship together. And God, I can't wait to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This was God's answer for us. This was God's mission for us as a church. You come back next week, and I'm going to show you what our part is in God's mission and what he has as a church. Thank you. You're dismissed. You know what? Let's do this, though, is if Dr. Roland and his family, we want to be able to honor you first and get you all back there for some food, because I ate with these guys one time before. If you get in the back of the line, I'm just telling you, all right? So I'm just saying. So you can do that, and then Trinity, we'd be okay if I allowed some of my family to go up there, too. That'd be all right. All right. So you guys can go, too. So we'll form a line right back there. I see that they've got the food going for us, and then we'll go to the fellowship hall. Thank you.